Welcome to my daily teaching video. Greetings wherever you are. I'm actually recording this a few days earlier than we're broadcasting it, so I should today be in Israel, first day in Israel. So keep Leah and I in your prayers. We're going to spend a week in Israel. We're part of a delegation that's going to meet with the Israeli government. And pray for us. Looking forward to meeting the Prime Minister and seeing all God does in this important time. I'll tell you more about that when I come back. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to jump into part two of my new series, All About the Life of God. It's entitled Alive. I have a brand new book out this week available on Amazon called Alive. Learn how to experience the resurrection life of Jesus. And I'm going to be teaching from this book. Teaching chapter 2 today, but in really want to explore with you, what does it actually mean to be alive in God? I said it yesterday, but the goal of Christianity is not knowledge. The goal of Christianity isn't actually to improve our lives. The goal of Christianity isn't to forgive our sins. Now, evangelicals get annoyed when you say that. Good. Get a Bible. Read it. Understand it. Chew in it. Teach it. You know, the goal, Jesus didn't come to take away our sins. Jesus came to bring us into eternal fellowship with the Father. The removal of sin was the absolute necessary step to doing that, our greatest impediment in a way to do that, but that wasn't the goal. The goal is not that I'm here like a good evangelical on planet Earth going, my sins have been forgiven, and now I'm waiting one day for eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin the day you die or the day Jesus returns. If you don't have eternal life before Jesus comes or calls, then he won't be calling. Eternal life is not something that begins in eternity. Eternal life is something Jesus gave up on Calvary's cross and something that you have a right, a privilege, and even a duty to step into in the here and now. We're going to be unpacking that together today. Let me do a few quick announcements again. The book, get one, available as a Kindle or a paperback on Amazon. I think I have an offer, Black Friday offer at the time of recording. It may still be up for $5. So encourage you to get one of those, study through me. Do keep this week in your prayers for Leah and I in Israel. I'll be talking about more about that when I get back. Hey, we've been revamping our whole new email system. So if you're not getting our regular weekly emails, I really encourage you to sign up for those. We have a free gift for everybody who does so. Should be a link below, or it's available on my website at gjm.org. And lastly, again, a big thank you to all of my ministry partners. I have partners on several continents, lots of different countries, people who pray for us, who support us, who host us, who invite us, and who share in the koinonia, the fellowship, the journey of our mission. So we love you guys. We cheer you on. We pray for you. And if you're interested in becoming a partner, again, there'll be a link somewhere below. Good. So let's jump into this. We began yesterday introducing the subject of the life of God. And I'd like to begin today with reading a Bible verse in Genesis 2:17. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil you shall not eat. In the day you eat of it, you will surely die. I want to begin today by saying this. God offered mankind this choice. I referred to it yesterday, but let's go into it in greater detail. The choice was not between good and evil. The choice, that's what religion does. Religion pretends you have a choice between good and evil. It's a really wild thought in a way, but the choice of good is just as bad as the choice of evil. Nobody's going to get into heaven by saying, I was good, and nobody's going to get into heaven saying, I was bad. Somebody's going to get into heaven saying, I received life. And God gave them the choice, not between good or evil, but because the choice between the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of good and evil, and the choice of life. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good or evil. And it's absolutely vital we get that. Jesus is not interested in making us right. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I want to suggest to you that mankind is addicted to being right. Mankind loves to be right. I think there is an addiction that is greater than any food, any alcohol, any cocaine, anything. And that addiction is being right. We go to wars over things because we think we are right and you are wrong. You know, in every human relationship at some stage, we get into a bit of a conflict where we conflict. We think we're arguing about this matter or that matter, or where we should go on vacation, or who left the sock on the floor or the fridge door open or whatever that is. But what we're really arguing about is about being right. And it's amazing how much we fall in love with being right, and how much we will, listen to my words carefully, we will sacrifice a relationship. At times, people have literally killed people, sacrificed the body, as it were, on the altar of being right. You know, I would quite literally say to you that Cain killed Abel because of right or wrong, you know, the opinion about the sacrifices. And so often we get into these situations, spiraling arguments. Pretty much everybody I've ever met, and it's true of my wife and I, who've been married, you get into that clash. And it's our ego, it's our identity. Again, it's not about an opinion. If I said to you this was, you know, green, and you said this book was khaki or whatever, it's not about what's factually true. It's about we place our identity in the fact I am right. If you contradict me, you are demeaning me, you are lowering me, you are not respecting or honoring me. Find my glory in being right, and I find my glory in not being wrong. And of course, our glory should come from God, not from any of those things. It's really amazing that Jesus is not that concerned with being right or wrong. Jesus never comes along and says, hey, all the other ways, all the other religions are wrong, and I am right. Jesus never says, I am right. Jesus says, I am the truth. The Holy Spirit isn't the spirit of rightness. He is the spirit of truth. And the problem is, by the works of the law, by in effect being right, no man will ever be justified. So I want you to catch that. Jesus comes to fill us with his life. And at some level, we've actually got to give up that addiction to being right and being wrong, and get to the place where we go, I don't even know what's right anymore. Obviously, God's right, his word's right, the Bible's right. I'm not saying we don't know what's right. My point is that our justification is not, I am right. You know, when somebody goes into a courtroom, they will be asked, how do they plead? And a plead is an old-fashioned English word, but I think we'd still use it in American jurisprudence today. And a plead is a presentation. It's a defense. You stand accused of this crime. How do you represent yourself? What do you say of yourself? That question was asked by the Apostle Paul when he was brought before the court of Agrippa. What do you say of yourself? And of course, classically, there are two answers. You can plead guilty, or you can plead innocent. Now, there's an old-fashioned phrase in Christianity called pleading the blood. And when we plead guilty, that's the knowledge of good or evil. When we plead innocent, that's the knowledge of good or evil. The Bible says the life is in the blood. God wants to make us righteous, not because we are right or we are good or we are evil. He wants to make us righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Our righteousness flows from the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I tell you guys, everything in your life comes alive when you realize you have been declared righteous by the God of heaven. Jesus has stood in the dock. He'd been declared guilty, not with his guilt, but with my guilt and your guilt. He paid the price, and the court of heaven has proclaimed you and I not innocent, but justified. Yeah, just as if we'd never sinned. I am not simply like free from sin in the sense like I'm virginal or I'm just like this blank sheet of paper. No, the court of heaven has examined me through the work of Jesus and declared me to be just. And I believe, let me finish with this, but it's so vital that we learn to establish our identity in the righteousness of Jesus. I am alive. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. You know, we'll explore this a little bit later in the book as we go through the series. But Jesus didn't actually come to make us alive. He came that we might die. Sin died when Jesus died. And you have been made alive and you have been declared righteous. Romans 8 verse 10 says the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And again, we're going to unpack this and go through the scriptures, particularly in Romans during the course of this series. But I want you to grab a hold of that by faith today. I want you to proclaim out loud, I am alive. The life of Jesus is in me. The life of Jesus dwells in me. The life of Jesus flows through me, Selah. Guys, I'm going to be back again tomorrow. Grab a copy of this book. It will bless you. And I can't think of any better Christmas present you could get somebody. Really mean that, truly. Available on Amazon.com, link below. And have a great day wherever you are. Drop me a line. I truly would love to hear from you. Thanks for watching.